tonight I'm going to share some more on breaking the yoke of bondage. And the more I teach on this, the more I realize how necessary it is that we understand the kind of bondages that are all around us and the kind of entanglements that the enemy tried to set before us. And tonight I'm going to talk about unity, but we're going to talk about a distorted view of unity, a distorted unity that the enemy has really put together. Because, you know, God is about bringing his people together, but the devil is also calling the world together like never before. These things that are happening, they're coming together, and there's connections between one thing and the other. And it's all headed towards something. And if we are unaware, it's easy to get swallowed into these things that are happening even in our day and hour, in this hour. And when you talk about this unity, I want to always go back to the beginnings. We go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 so we can understand God's objective, God's purpose, his purpose for his people, for all humanity. He says, and I'm reading out of the Message paraphrase now, and this is dominion mandate. We talk about it a lot, dominion mandate. It says, God bless them, talking about Adam and Eve. God bless them. Then he said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. So in this, God's intention for all humanity, first of all, beginning with the two, was that they would prosper. I like the way the Message paraphrase puts it, that we are to prosper. We are to, in other words, the things that would be necessary, required to carry out the assignments given, God would provide those things. But then he says, and then reproduce. We are to reproduce. And as we reproduce, he's talking about taking that which is reproduced and spread it out so that we can reproduce and fill the whole earth. It was God's objective to have every portion of the earth occupied by the people that were actually in the garden at that time. The two would spread out until it became a whole world of people. That was God's intention. And then he says, and as we reproduce, take charge over all of my creation, fish of the sea, birds of the air, every living thing that moves. But understand that all of this was to take place under the dominion mandate, which meant that the relationship between God and man was to remain intact, that was to remain intact, and out of man's submission to God, that God would allow that righteous seed to become widespread all over the whole earth. So the key of man's success would be his communion, to stay in communion with God and then to expand. But then you go to verse chapter 11, because you know about the sin. I won't go through that, but let's look at this same thing, but now we see a distortion of the original. It says here in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, and they said, listen to this now, it wasn't God saying, they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. I'm reading this in contrast to the dominion mandate unto man's, what man had become and man's objective. Come now, let us build ourselves a city. And he says, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. He says, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now listen, God wanted them to be scattered over the face of the whole earth, but the intention from the beginning was that outreach or that spreading out would take place so that his righteous seed would occupy every part of this planet. But here we begin to see the unrighteous seed of fallen man taking that same the same thing that God had given him concerning unity, but this time he is saying, let us unify so that we can build a city. And he says, and a tower that reaches all the way to the top of heaven. It's important to understand this. This observatory tower, it is really saying, let us be at a place where we can, in some degree, reach God or measure up to God. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered. But he says in verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built, that they had built. And it said they were just building it, but they had built it. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. This is in unity. They are one. And they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, let's stop there for a moment and see. Now that they have unified, this is what they're going to do with the unity. They're going to take what they have built, what they are capable of doing, and now it's going to stand in a way that it's going to be in opposition to my purpose. It's going to defy my word. It's going to be the opposite of what I intended. He says, so now this is what they begin to do. He says, and what they begin to do now that they've gotten this far, since they're determined and on one accord, he went on to say, now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Now, you have to hear this very carefully because it spoke of the ingenious, how ingenious man is, and using his ingenuity. And we're talking about way back then, he was saying there's nothing that he proposed to do that would be withheld from him. So it is a unity among humanity that brought mankind to a place where God himself said, nothing will be withheld from him. He can do pretty much any, he can do anything he want to do. And there would be nothing to stop him since he's one, since he's unified. But watch what the Lord says. He says, now the same God that says, let us make man, that's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He says, come, let us now go down there and confuse their language. Let us confuse their language. Let's not just deal with the construction of the tower or their ability to create, the ability to be inventive and all of that. But he says, but what we have to deal with is their language. Because let us confuse or confound their language, he says, that they might not understand one another's speech. So they might have the same intention, but now they can't communicate. Their intention is still to defy God. Their intention is still to build something that will measure to the level of God and to be at a place where they can say that if they made up their minds to do it, nothing can stop them. But God says, what I'm going to do, let us go down and confuse their language. So now they're not able to communicate. So he struck the area of communication. He tore down the area of communication for them so that they weren't capable of communicating. But now look at today. Look at how that area of communication is being bridged. Do you see what we're saying here? Because now we have ways of translating languages. They're in computers. There are things that have happened. You can speak to one person on one part of the world and they can get the message regardless of what language they may speak. They get the message that quick. So man, to some degree, has bridged the gap or the gulf of language already. But understand, when it comes to communication, in fact, right here in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, which is the communication capital of the world, look at CNN. You can watch CNN, and whatever happens, any part of the world, we can see it, know it, and understand it in a second, split second. But the Lord said at that particular point, they didn't have CNN. They didn't have newspapers, any of that. They had to go by word of mouth. And the Lord says, he says, let us confuse their language. He says, so now as a result of that, they were not able to continue what they were in process of doing. So the Lord scattered them abroad. Listen to him. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. The very thing that they didn't want to happen, see happen. The Lord scattered them abroad throughout the earth, and they ceased building the city. Now, understand this. It was his intention from the beginning that they go out and they become outspread. so that they could spread the righteous seed. But now they're scattered throughout the whole earth, but they're not building the city. But now we see this confusion that exists here. Therefore, the name of the tower that they built is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Now we begin to see what has happened in the area of man's development. The systems developed, the evolution or degeneration of man's thinking influences the systems developed from which he functions. We're in the midst of a revolution. I want you to know that we are in the midst of a revolution. We're talking about a religious revolution as well as a political revolution. You see, because I believe, like never before, people have come to that place of realizing the necessity of unity, that we have to unify. That's what's happening. The world is saying it stronger than anyone, that we have to unify. We have to come together. The necessity of unity. And this unity, now, I want you to understand what this unity is leading towards. And I'm going to talk about these different ideologies. It's leading towards one world government. It was John Lennon of the Beatles that wrote a song, and he sang it many years ago. It's called Imagine. If you ever heard that, but it was called Imagine. Many other artists have sung it. I'm just going to read the lyrics of this song. It says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. That's the invitation. I hope someday you'll join us. And when you join in, the world will live as one. So the invitation, even back then, days of the Beatles, and we heard Stevie Wonder and many others sing the song Imagine. And that's an invitation. I would say, like we would give invitation for discipleship, I hope one day you'll join us. And when you join us, the world will be as one. What's standing in the way of that? What's standing in the way of that kind of unity? What's standing in the way of the world becoming one so that everybody is on the same page, moving in the same direction? You realize what it is? It's the Christians. It's the church. You follow? It's the thing that God ordained from the very beginning when he had in mind a certain kind of unity. But now the thing that's standing in the way is that there are people that just won't join us. You won't join in. We gave you an invitation. We told you that this thing that will bring about unity throughout the whole world. But the holdout is that there are still believers that believe that God's way is the only way, and that Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. Now, as we look at this, let's look at some of the things in the world, and some of you can probably do a better job. In fact, in the future, I'd like for you to give us even more in-depth study on these particular subjects, but I'm just going to glaze over them just to give an overview. But you probably know about globalism. That's a national geopolitical policy in which the entire world is regarded as the appropriate sphere for state influence, the state influencing the whole world. It is the development of social, cultural, technological, or economic networks that transcend national boundaries. So there are no boundaries any longer, but all of these things are interconnected and interrelated. so that now they're brought all into one sphere, under state, of influence. That's globalism. And then we have secularism. It's a belief system where they reject all religion. Let's get rid of all religion, because religion is, one said, the opiate of the mind. That's like Karl Marx and all would say. So now, at this, it's a belief that religion should not be a part of our affairs or the state, a part of education. Let's get religion in the state. Let's get rid of religion in public education. So what happens, they believe this rigid separation of church and state, that there's nothing, in other words, it never was intended to be this way, but they believe, if anything, that the church should have nothing to do with the state, and the state has absolutely nothing to do with the church, to the degree that even to this day, if you mention God in some of these public forums, it's like a curse word. Because, understand, they think, you can say God to some degree, but you better not say Jesus. That's really the trouble. You can refer to God to a degree, but you understand this. It's keeping religion out of the public school system, and understand it's that's an example of secularism. But then there's another one that's called universalism. And watch this one. That's a theological doctrine that all human beings will eventually be saved. Everybody's going to get saved. That's universalism. It's the principle and practice of a liberal Christian denomination. It was founded in the 18th century, originally to uphold belief that of universal salvation, that none would be lost ultimately, that God is such a loving God that nobody's going to get left out. And to take it even further, some believe that even the devil himself is going to be converted. That's how far this thing goes. And it's united now to Unitarianism. That's the belief that deities exist only in one person. It's a member of a denomination that stresses individual freedom of beliefs, that you can believe anything you want to believe because you're free to use all your reasoning faculties in the area of religion. So in other words, God is so reasonable that he understands regardless of whatever position you may be taking. So now you begin to see how even there was a tying together of those two. Well, we begin to see universalism and we begin to see Unitarianism coming together in the UU. Unified for the, because since they were so closely related, they said, why don't we just go and unify? Why should we be divided? The Unitarianism and Universalism. So the UU unified because they had shared beliefs or shared search for spiritual growth. So as a result of it, watch what they included. Agnostics, atheists. You see, it was those that were theists, agnostics and atheists. Everybody can come in. You see, because understand, this is so liberal. This is how Christianity is so liberal and so widespread that it doesn't matter where it is or what you believe. Come on in. And then you begin to look at, now we're talking about religion now. But watch how you keep, now you brought God in. I think it was one of C.S. Lewis's teachings where he said, if he talked about the big devil training the little devil. He said, and one way to do it, he said, tell them, he said, include religion. You could talk about God and all, but you redefine him so that he's not who he's supposed to be. So now we have something that's called, watch this one, pantheism. Pantheism. This word pan means all. It means all. And then you have theism, which is God. So in other words, it is saying instead of nothing is God, it says all is God. Now watch this. It is saying that God is, since God made the tree, God is the tree. God is in the tree, therefore God is the tree. God made whatever he made. God made the sun, so God is the sun. So watch this. So now as a result of that, it is saying that God is all and all is God. But the truth of the matter, if God is all and all is God, it is really saying God is nothing. You see, the all-inclusiveness of pantheism negates God altogether. so that God ceases to exist. So as we begin to look at all the different isms that exist, and there are many, many others, it was Chesterton that said, toleration is a virtue to a man with no convictions. If a man has no convictions, then toleration is a virtue. There's a faith that's called the Baha'i faith. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but it's called the Baha'i faith. And in the Baha'i faith, I ran into one just a few weeks ago. I was in a store and ran into one lady. She was a white lady. She saw me and she said, aren't you so glad that we're dealing with this? She said, such a bad thing that happened to African Americans. And she said, we talked on and on about religion. She saw me picking up some religious books, and she said, some Christian books. And she said, you know what? And I told her about what I believe. She said, what denomination are you? And I told her, well, I'm not a part of denomination. So as we continued our conversation, and I began to tell her what I believed, and then she told me, I believe that all of this is okay, and that we need to really come together. All of us need to come together. So what Baha'i believe, it addressed such essential themes as oneness of God and religion, the oneness of humanity, and freedom from prejudice. She thought we had that in common because it addressed the freedom from prejudice, particularly in our day with all the divisions that's taking place around us. The inherent nobility of the human being, the progressive revelation of religious truth. Now, did you hear this word? Progressive revelation of religious truth. So in other words, the truth of God is yet evolving. You see, where some would believe truth is not absolute, but we grow in truth itself has to expand based upon man's reasoning. So as a result of that, understand, develop some of his spiritual qualities is the integration of worship and service. As long as you're serving and you're doing something to help society, the fundamental equality of the sexes, the harmony both between religion and science, the centrality of justice to all human endeavors, the importance of education, the dynamics of relationships that are to bind together individuals, communities, institutions, and humanity's advancement towards its collective maturity. So when you begin to look at it, it sounds so wonderful. It sounds so benevolent and all of those kinds of things that one would look at that and say, this has to be it. But understand, it is so inclusive that it includes everything. Here's what this statement says. O ye children of man, the fundamental purpose animating the faith of God and his religion is to safeguard the interests and promote the unity of the human race, to foster the spirit of love and fellowship among men. This is what their founder said, Baha'u'llah, whatever his name is. It says, whosoever is raised on this foundation, the changes and chances of the world can never impair its strength. The changes and the chances of the world can never impair its strength if you're raised on this foundation. He says, nor will the revolution of countless centuries undermine its structure. So in other words, it has so much buoyancy because it has so much flexibility that whichever way the wind blows, you see, it still stands. But understand, it is really the statement that was made by Chesterton. If you don't really have convictions, if a man with no virtue or no convictions, then tolerance itself becomes a virtue. So now, as we begin to look at America and begin to look at our own conditions, I believe God is helping us to understand what is happening even in our day. And I venture to say that what God is wanting to see happen, if we as the church will understand what true unity is all about, that's what he's wanting to do more so than anything else, bring us to the place of understanding what true unity is. But in the book of Job chapter 12, verse 23, Job chapter 12, verse 23, here's a scripture to help you understand what's happening even with nations. He says here, this is God now. Job is, he's speaking about God. He said, he makes nations great and destroy them. He makes a nation great, he destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and make them wander in a pathless wilderness. They grope in darkness without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. Listen to what he's saying here. It is saying that God, like another scripture talks about, he raise up, he'll also bring down. But when he makes a nation great, why would he destroy a nation that he made great? He made man, didn't he? But then what happened to man? Man became arrogant, and man became proud. Man became self-centered, and as a result of it, the very God that made him had to bring him down. So what happened? He said, let us confuse their language. See, who gave them language? God did. Who placed them? Who gave them life? God did. But now man began to operate independent of him. So God had to bring down that which he had put in position. He also had Pharaoh in a place where Pharaoh could be greatly used by him. But then Pharaoh could have been the liberator, but he would not listen to God. So he makes nations great, he destroys them. This is the part. He enlarges nations, and watch this. When he enlarges them, they must receive their guidance from the Lord. You see, when a nation has been enlarged, you better make sure that you continue to receive guidance from the Lord and not begin to place confidence in your own abilities. You see, now that's with whoever. That has to do with a nation, has to do with a family, has to do with a person. Whenever things are happening good, when things are coming together for you, be very careful that you don't allow it to go to your head. But always remember that it is God. God is the one that provides. God is the one that we must always honor. So he said he enlarges nation, he guides them. And watch what he does. But this is the part I want you to see. He takes away the understanding. And this is happening today. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth. Now I'm going to bring that home to you. I want to have that clear. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and make them wander in a pathless wilderness. They grope in darkness without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. What happens? Person becomes a leader when he loses his ability to reason, because beforehand he was able to reason to some degree and understand his reasoning, ability to reason came from God. And then even the information to reason about all came from God. But then when God is taken out of the picture, he makes him stagger like a drunken man. He doesn't have any direction. He is senseless. He moves around without any purpose and without any direction. Now, reason, we talk about reason, his conscience and moral character, which forms the basis for his decision making. That's his reasoning. You see, his conscience. So when a person becomes unconscionable, they have lost their sense of reasoning and conscience and moral character. Now watch what the enemy is fighting against. He's trying to chisel away at our moral character. In fact, this is the whole objective, so that people no longer see the need for God or the need to even reason on God's level or to accept God. You see, even though we know that in our we give this thing about one nation under God, it was added, but it was a good thing. But now they're taking it out. Say, let's get rid of the under God stuff. In God we trust on our money, but how many really trust God? So their knowledge, their competency, their competence and ability to think through problems and solve them, not able to think through the problems to bring a problem to a resolve. They stagger like drunkards. So go leaders. Watch this. So go the followers. If the leaders are staggering, you best believe the people are staggering too. Now we begin to look even what happened. Now there was a wandering that took place in the scripture. And this was the children of Israel when they wandered for 40 years, but they had a destination. It was the land of Canaan. But in our day and time, people are wandering without any particular place to go. They're just wandering about with no purpose, no destination, just wandering. Where are you going? Where are you going? I don't know. And I think it was in one of the stories that says, well, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So now, what happens, there's wandering. That's pretty much, I would say the wandering is the spirit of this age. People that just wander, void of direction, not knowing where to go. Think about some of the things that we see on our television now, things that are becoming popular, like the zombies, the walking dead, the walking dead. But I was thinking just recently about one of the games that is on the news now, Pokemon. And what happens, people are walking around, and they might just show up anywhere. And they start digging around in somebody's backyard. They're digging in church yards, and they're just walking around. Don't even know where you're going. Whole group of them, they're walking around. What is that? That reminds me of the walking dead. You see, just like we begin to see how much of what Hollywood or the movies are depicting and how those things are really expressive of real life. You see, a lot of things that we see are fictional characters and fiction on television, and then we come to realize that a lot of this stuff is really happening. You see, so I would say that all of this stuff is really, I won't say it's just prophetic, it is reflective. It's more reflective than anything else. It's reflecting the kind of society we're living in. People are wandering about. And now it's become such a crave that a lot of people are joining in. It's making news and all kind of things are happening because people are going after Pokemon. And you look at this thing, it's really, you know what Pokemon means? Pocket monster. That's what it is. It is a pocket monster. And understand, and if you look into the origin of this thing, you'll see that it is steeped in all kind of mysticism, where it's demonic and devilish. And one of the statements is, carry your Pokemon with you and you're ready for anything. You've got the power in your hands, so use it. Do you see that? But now people are picking it up. And the ignorance of some, I'm going to say it. Ignorance of some. We were watching on one of these TV programs, preachers, and they were saying, we want to get Pokemon clubs in our church. Because, and this is what one preacher said. You know him too. He said, if Pokemon could get them to come to church, then we need to start a Pokemon club. I said, now listen to the kind of leaders we have today that are being pushed up in front, and people are popularizing them because they don't look into the matter. They look at just coming to church isn't enough. But yet people who are wandering will wander behind those leaders that have no direction themselves. Are you seeing this? So now we begin to understand why things are so messed up. So now look at what happens. So void of discernment. They're void of discernment, not able to reason. And as a result of it, they stagger. I call it wilderness wandering, because understand, it is pride that's entered in, which leads to independence while really being a slave. Your independence, or one's independence, really lead them to slavery. When you're free from the constraints of God, you really become a slave. You see? See, God's prohibitions aren't against us. They're for us. They're for our good. There's something, we have to come to the realization that there are things that God knows that far extends much further than our ability to reason. You see, if we were that smart, then we will be able to do all the things that God is doing and has done. We won't need God if we were that smart. And there are some people really believe that they're that smart. But our dependence upon him is because we must acknowledge the fact that we don't know it all. And that's the whole point, is that we don't have as much knowledge as we might would like to have, or many think that they have. So now, even in this, the void of discernment, not able to distinguish. We talk about people not distinguishing the difference between the clean and the unclean, between the things that are good and the things that are bad. When it all becomes a blur, look at this whole thing of toleration. When everything is put in the same category. And then the strange thing, I've said this many times in the past, the strange thing that many will begin to look at those who exercise discernment and say to them that they're making a big to-do about nothing. Why are you so nitpicky in relation to these particular things? You know why? Because these things are important to God. And if they're important to God, they must be important to me. And that's really the attitude. And understand this. So the things that we preach now, we must preach from that perspective. Where is God? And who are the people that's interested to know God's position in relation to these things? And if we are interested in knowing God's position in relation to these things, then what happens, you can receive a message, and that message will adjust your thinking. So that now the correction that takes place through the preaching of the Word of God will help you to further align with His will. But if not, what happens? You're wandering and you're following the dictates of your own heart. It's what you think, what you believe, or what you think you know. The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19, and I'm going to read this out of the New Revised Standard. It says, anyone who tills a land will have plenty of bread, but one who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. You see, it is saying anyone who tills the land, that's the work, and we engage in the activity that God would have us engaged in, eventually we'll have plenty of food. God will see to it that we're provided for. But one who follows worthless pursuits, if you're running after something that doesn't mean anything, you'll have plenty of poverty. And I want you to understand, and that doesn't just have to do with money. It doesn't just refer to money. You will come to poverty, poverty of spirit. You'll be at a place where your soul is bankrupt because you're not being nourished. You follow that? There's something lacking in your life if you're following after worthless pursuits. We have to pursue those things that God would have us pursue. Pursue holiness. Pursue righteousness. Pursue those things that God would have us to go after. Now, in the 28th, it goes on to say, when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. 28 through 29. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. He who is often rebukes and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. If you get stiff-necked, that's what it says in the 28th verse, 29th verse rather, of Proverbs 28. You get stiff-necked. He said, if off rebuke and hardens his neck, will suddenly, it didn't say it just happened gradually, but suddenly he'll be destroyed. In other words, there's an end. I would say a surprise at the end of the decision that you made. I put it this way. You probably heard me talk about a person that jump off a cliff because they want the thrill of jumping off the cliff. So you jump off the mountain, and you holler, wee, because I'm flying. I'm flying. And you think about it. The wind is beating against your face. And look at all the different moves and twists and turns you can make. But guess what's happening? You're going down. You're going down. You can turn somersaults. You can do cartwheels, all the other stuff. But then what's going to happen if you're unaware of the end? Then you're setting yourself up for a surprise. Because your end is climactic, your end is catastrophic. You're dead. So he says, he will suddenly be without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, this is the same scripture. I bring this together now. It talks about rebuking. It talks about bringing correction. It talks about hardening necks and hard necks and all those things. And then in this same scripture, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. So now, what is it really saying here? It is saying to us, when you read these together, when the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. You see, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. When the wicked rise, understand this, it will bring fear upon the people. There will be certain fears that will come upon us. But when they perish, the righteous increase. But when he is often rebukes and hardens his neck, will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. But then it says, but now when the righteous, that's the wicked now, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. You don't have to hide yourself now. You see, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan. So what we want now, we want to see the righteous rule. We want to see the righteous in authority. You follow this? But let me put it this way. We must be the righteous, because then we can determine whether righteousness is ruling or whether wickedness is ruling. If you don't have discernment, you don't know the difference. One would think that, well, this is a righteous ruling, but how do you know that's the righteous ruling if you're not righteous? You see this? How do you know that's the wicked ruling if you are wicked? See, your thing is because you have wickedness in common. But we want to be in a place of discernment so we can tell the difference between the righteous and the wicked. And then when the righteous are seeking the righteous to rule, you understand what's happening. We aren't pleased at things as they currently are. But watch what it'll do. It will put us in a position where we're crying out to God. We're crying out to God. And you know what? God is registering our prayers, because the time will come when we will answer that prayer. We will see the manifestation of that prayer being answered. You see, God will see to it if we cry out to him. Now, let's look at some other scriptures here, because I want you to see here in Romans chapter 1, because this is what happens when people, I would say that there are some things that are obvious. There are some things that we have to intentionally ignore in order to participate in. But when we do it intentionally, eventually we convince a person, I'm going to say we, I didn't take we out of that. People, see, that's better. People intentionally ignore. And when they intentionally ignore it, then it becomes their reality. That becomes their reality. They get to the place where they convince themselves of something that they know is wrong. But now to them, they're going to say, no, what's your position in relation to that? Well, it used to be wrong yesterday, but since everybody else is moving this direction, you follow this? So now we have a different reality. So that's what he speaks of in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. What he says here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, if we stay there for a moment, listen to what he's saying here. They did not desire to retain God in their knowledge. What is they saying here? They're saying that it would be inconvenient for them to retain God in their knowledge, because there are some things that they would much rather be doing. And if God was in their knowledge, then God would be in the way. Are you seeing? God would be in the way. They said, so what we have to do, if we're going to move in this direction in unison, let's get rid of God. Let's get rid of God. So now, listen to this. They, even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, now if you give God up, look what God does. God will give you over. If you give God up, he will give you over. So God gave them over to a debased mind. You see, since they did not like to retain God, the Lord says, okay, now you cannot retain me in your knowledge. See, what you reject, you lose the ability to retain. God says, okay, now that's your reality. What's your position? So let me tell you something. People making positional statements that hadn't practiced the seeing as of yet are likely candidates to eventually participate in the activity themselves. You know what I'm talking about? The Bible speaks of it very clearly. You say, well, you weren't there yet. But let me tell you something. You keep agreeing. You see, you're like a time bomb. It's just a matter of time before it will become so common to you that you have no defense against it. No defense against it. So you see, so our battle is very strong in these days, desire, that we must stand for righteousness even if the world stand against us. So now it says, they refused to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, the King James says, a reprobate mind. Now, understand this, they have reached this point where now their reasoning faculties are no longer the same. They don't even think the way they used to think, because now they can justify evil, they can justify sin, and they can actually give a strong argument in favor of sin. So now, you're giving over to debased mind. Watch this, because it says, now watch how the mind attaches itself to action, to do those things which are not fitting. You see, this is how they're thinking. And now look at their behavior. Now they can do those things that are not fitting. At first, it was a matter of not retaining God in their mind, in their knowledge. And now look at their behavior. So now this thing becomes widespread where they do the things that are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Listen to this now. Unrighteousness. And watch this. I didn't put it here. It's here all the while. Sexual immorality. Do you realize how much sex has to do with all of this? Sex has a lot to do with this whole thing of not retaining God in their knowledge. And people are trying to come up with all kind of educational programs and other ways to try to fix the problem. But let me tell you what the real problem is. When God is not retained in their knowledge, then they become more promiscuous. And not only that, they do stuff that is unspeakable. You follow this? Because God is no longer there. Because God is really the anchor. He's the buffer. He's the one that keeps us on track so that people just don't do crazy stuff. He says, we talked about Pokemon. You're not just wandering about, so that whatever's happening, you participate in it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, watch this, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Listen to this. All of this is connected. Envy. Watch this other part. Murder. Look at the murder rate. It increases as a result of this. Strife. Deceit. Evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. That's where it all is. Hating God. Violent. Proud. Boasters. And they come up with new inventions of evil things. They come up with new ways to do evil. They come up with ways. They say, well, this has never been done before. But they come up with some stuff that we never heard before. New ways of doing evil things. And disobedient to parents. You see, because I understand authority is in question all the while. Undiscerning. We mentioned that before. They can't discern the difference. You can't trust them. Untrustworthy. No love is there. Unloving. Unforgiving. Unmerciful. They can kill and not think anything about it. They can walk into a restaurant and have a meal as if nothing has ever happened and laugh at the way a person died. Unmerciful. And understand, unforgiving in a place where you hold things. He said, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that's to those who know the righteous God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now, we must always remember that. I think that that ought to be like a safeguard for believers. If we are aware of the fact that these things are worthy of death, all of these things are worthy of death. So we don't participate in any. But we cannot avoid participating if we do not retain God in our knowledge. You see this? So therefore, you'll find, you say, well, I didn't go to some of the worser. But let me tell you, the door is open because we mentioned the mystery of iniquity. The enemy would like to get a foothold. If he can get just one of these things in your life, he want to invite all the other vices in. He just want to get in there. You see, we get to the place saying, I would never do such and such and such. Let me tell you something. If you're not retaining God in your knowledge, forget about all this stuff about what you'll never do. You may find yourself doing stuff that you thought you'd never do. So he says here that, and we must remember, those who practice are deserving of death. So not only the ones that do the same, but also those who vote for it. Did you hear what I said? Those who approve of those who practice them. So we have to be very careful that we are not giving our stamp of approval upon things that God has already made very clear that these things are sinful, these things are wrong. You follow? So we have to be very, this is where we stand. We have to be very careful that we are not approving of any stuff. It has to meet our disapproval. Let's talk men, let's talk brothers, let's talk fellas. We are exposed on a regular basis. Men have a great affinity towards, let's say, visuals than women, I suppose. But we're exposed to this on a regular basis, aren't we? And when you put on television, it's very difficult to, you have to almost cut, you have to change the station because something is happening you don't supposed to be seeing. Because what happens, if you start entertaining whatever you're looking at, understand this, it is a door opened to your heart and your soul for the enemy to come in and to begin to pull you in a direction that you otherwise would not go. So even things that it's okay to do like Joseph, you have to shun those things. You have to turn your head away from those kinds of things when those things are taking place and understand, because it's very easy for us to get to the place where the visual is capturing our attention. So now what happens, don't allow yourself to be entertained by any of these things. Now, we use the sexual part, but understand, gossip, lying, backbiting, all the other vices, don't get to the place where you like to hear stuff and you like to be, you see, you just like to hear gossip. You just like to hear things and that kind of stuff, because are you agree when people are being unforgiving and unloving that you agree with that kind of stuff? Because what happens, it opens a door for the enemy to build a stronghold in your life. So as a result of that, look at what happens now. The enemy is about bringing about unity, but God is trying to bring us back to proper unity. He is saying, and I would say that as we look at the kind of unity that God desires us to have, we begin to see, I would say, in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, look at what happens here. It says, this is the world now. Why do the nations rage? Why do the heathens rage? Why is it that all of these things are happening now the way they're happening? Why is it that now we begin to see things coming together like never before? They're coming together. And why is there such a draw to draw us away from the truth? Why is it, as it is today, things vying for our attention? And he says, and the people plot a vain thing. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? He says, look what's happening in the world. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. What's happening even this day? Well, I'm not going to talk politically, but some things are happening even this day where you begin to see where one would, I've just mentioned the thing with Putin and the discussion that's going on now. But he says, the kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together. They take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed one. We're in a battle. We're in a battle right now. They're taking their counsel together. I want you to see this. There are people right now trying to figure out how to defeat us. ISIS is one, or we begin to see those groups like that is one. But let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of groups out here that they don't even know it, because many of them, we mentioned these different religions or these different entities where they're about unifying religions, but they're saying that we are the problem. They're taking counsel together. I would say the worst kind of fire is friendly fire. You see, the worst enemy is one that will sit at your table. I would say one of the greater enemies are those that call themselves Christian. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Because what's happening today, there is a push towards a watered-down expression of Christianity. To bring the expression of Christianity to a place of nothingness, so that we are not really going after Christ any longer, but we're going after the benefits, so to speak, or going after a facade. I don't know what reason one would really consider these things important, but there are other things rather than Christ. I begin to look at it this way. Even in the church, how the enemy in our day, we remember a time when there were conversions on a regular basis, people getting saved. Looked like there was a hunger, like we don't see today, that kind of hunger. I'm talking about America. Now, we might see it somewhere overseas, but I remember in America, when you talk to a person about Jesus, how open and how their hearts would just turn in that direction, and they were eager to hear more and to learn more and that kind of thing about Jesus Christ. And we were, it's easy to lead 5, 10, 15 people to the Lord in a week without putting forth a whole lot of effort, because that was a season or time where the hearts of people were more tender than ever, that it is today. But now, understand what has happened. We begin to see that they're taking counsel together. But understand, they're taking counsel together isn't just people coming up with an idea, we're going to block Christianity. But above us, understand principalities and powers, and understand rulers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, have determined this is a time where we are dictating to those who are not serious about God so that their behavior will be conducive to such. And they don't even know that they're being manipulated, that their puppet master is controlling their lives. You see that? They don't even know it. They just feel, well, I just do what I do because I do it. But no, there's something controlling it. Let us take counsel together. You know why he's doing that? Because he knows his time is short. So he's trying to make it as difficult as he possibly can for people to really get saved. That's why I put more emphasis, I said like never before, every morning we pray, Lord, for salvations, conversions, evangelism, discipleship. How can we see souls come in the kingdom? Not people coming from church to church, but some need to come from church to church so they can get saved. You follow? If you're leaving a church to get saved, that's a whole different story. But we want to see conversion, salvations. We want to see life change. But let me go back to this. We begin to see even nations. Let us take counsel together. Let us break their bonds of pieces, cast away their cords. Well, watch the Lord. He who sits in heaven laughs at him. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. He said, yet I have set, all of this is good, yet I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. And watch this affirmation. You are my son, talking about Jesus. Today I've begotten you. And then he says this, ask of me. That's what I wanted to get to. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. I will give you the nations. I will give them to you. He's going to bring nations. We changed our name to Cross Culture Church. He will give us the nations for our inheritance. Ask of me. As we begin to pray, and as we begin to pursue God with a passion, I'm telling you, this is not the time for relenting. It's not time for giving up. You see, this thing is unifying all around us. We got to unify. And as we unify in one voice, on one accord, and we begin to petition God and say, Lord, I want to see the cultures that I'm exposed to every day, come to saving knowledge of Christ. I want to see black folk, white folk, red, yellow, people of every nationality come to know the Lord. I really want to see them come to know the Lord with it's got a passion. The Bible says, ask of me. You see, the Bible says that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So since the laborers are few, you would say, well, why don't you just go on and ask some laborers to join in? That's not what he said, did he? What he said, pray to who? To the Lord of the harvest. Ask of me. Ask God to prepare the hearts of the people so that the people will respond to God's initiative. So I hope I'm helping you in this. So even during our times of prayer, we want to start praying to God. Say, Lord, I'm asking you to prepare the environment, the atmosphere, so that it becomes easier for people to be responsive to your truth, to your word, and that they will carry the burden for souls, so that now we'll see the church coming together, just like the world is coming together. We will come together all the more. The Bible says, that's why it says, do not forsake the assembling yourselves together. And he says, all the more, we need to really come together. We need to be on one accord. We need to be one voice. Let me tell you something. You don't know the power of God working among us. I'm talking about us now, Cross Culture Church, being on one accord. You have no clue as to the kind of voice we would have in this city. You see, you don't have any clue the kind of voice we'd have in the city. If you knew it, it would be even, see, all of us would have a greater sense of urgency. We want to get all these vices and everything else out of the way. Whatever is dividing us, we want to get rid of those things that are dividing us. Why? Because we must understand the power of one under God. When we bring it all under God, it's unified. I mean, it's a force to be reckoned with. Because it's not our strength, it's not our power, it's not our ability. But understand, it is God manifesting himself among us. All he's waiting on for us to become one, that they may be one, unified, coming to the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to perfect man, that we will come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But understand, the devil's objective is to fight us in that area of unity so that we wouldn't be one. And I can preach it and preach it and preach it. So as I preach it, years ago, I was just thinking about something. Years ago, we used to have a group of people praying underneath the sanctuary, didn't we? Remember that? We used to have a group of people praying underneath. Remember that? And they would be praying while the service was going on. And then one time we even tried to set it up so that prayer would be going on a continual basis. We had a situation where we had a times slots where people would pray at these particular times so that prayer would be continuous. We had that many, many years ago here at Abundant Life at the time. You know what, brother, I'd love to see some of those things put back in place again. We'd love to see some of those things put back in place again because what's happening, I realize it all the more. It's going to be praying to the God of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, praying that God will send forth laborers, that God will impact lives, and that there be an environment such that from the spiritual realm that people will have a heart to serve God, to please him. And you know what? We could talk about the kind of environment that existed years ago, but I believe what God is wanting to provide for us now is far greater than anything we've ever seen before. But you know what? When we get to the place of praying, and let's have directed prayers, directing our prayers toward these objectives. Let's really be directing our prayers toward these objectives. We want to do the same thing in the mornings. Let's begin to direct our prayers toward these objectives. And you know what? I believe that we'll hear from heaven, and we'll begin to see. I believe the atmosphere will change. And understand, there'll be some sluggish people that all of a sudden start waking up. It's like a sleeping giant. I believe the church will start rising. And you'll begin to see potential in people that you say, well, I never thought that person had all that in them. then all of a sudden you'll see it rising up inside of them. Because what happens, that spirit that the enemy had attached to them to try to keep them bound up would be broken as a result of us coming together with that kind of prayer. So would we do this? Can we do this? So let's start even tonight. I'm going to give the mic to somebody. And I want you to, let's pray. Let's pray tonight in relation to that thing being broken and that the unity being established even among us. So about three or four of you, just come on forward. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we bow down before you and we honor you, Lord, as the true and living God. Father, we praise you, Lord, for your work that you are doing, Lord, in the earth that you have made. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have assigned to Cross Culture Church. And Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you will identify every vice, every form of division that lies dormant within our hearts. Lord, those things that we are not even able to see, those things that we are carrying that we don't even know that we're carrying. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me in the name of Jesus, Lord, for walking in unforgiveness, Lord, for carrying hurts, for carrying wounds, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for just not realizing, Lord, how unforgiveness, Lord, is a doorway of death, a doorway of a stronghold. Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord, that you would deal with us, Lord, how we have been operating in our flesh, how we have been operating, Lord, according to our emotions, Lord. Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus, Lord, for just allowing division to run rampant, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for not endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, Lord, in the bonds of peace, Lord. We thank you for your light that exposes, Lord, the works of darkness. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will allow us to be transparent, Lord, to tell you our transgressions, Lord, not to point the finger and tell what other people are doing and what they need to do and what they need to be delivered from. Father, let it begin with each one of us, Lord. Father, let us raise our hands, Lord, and allow you to examine our hearts, Lord. Father, let us call upon your name, Lord, and allow you to deal, Lord, with those pockets of death that reside within us, Lord. Father, you do have a work, Lord, for Cross Culture Church, Lord. You do desire, Lord, for us to be on one accord, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will usher in a spirit of brokenness, Lord. May we not justify, Lord, our places that we have carried, Lord. May we not justify our sin, Lord. May we not justify those things that offend you, Lord. And forgive us, Lord, for offending your people, Lord. Forgive us for not walking in your love, Lord. Forgive us for not dealing mercifully, Lord, as you deal so mercifully with us, Lord. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will usher in brokenness, Lord, contriteness of heart, Lord, being thoroughly sorry that we have utterly offended you, Lord, because we have made distinctions among ourselves, Lord, and we have separated ourselves, Lord, and we have been exclusive, Lord, and we have put one group over here and one group over there, Lord, not knowing that we need each other, Lord. And who are we, Lord, to elevate ourselves? Who are we to promote ourselves over your people, over your creation, Lord? Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus, Lord, and may our eyes be opened. In the name of Jesus, Lord, may we clearly see our point of error, and may we deal with it, Lord. May we bring it to you, Lord, so that you can deal with our hearts, Lord. It's a heart issue, Lord. Deal with our hearts, Lord, and open our eyes to see you, Lord, because the more that we see you, the more we respond according to your order, according to your standard, and according to your holiness, in the name of Jesus.
Spirit of the living God, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, that you will prepare this place, Lord God, first with our hearts, Lord God. As Pastor has said, Lord God, that that we will prepare for the change, Lord God. So, Lord God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that even as the word has gone forth, that your grace has given us the strength to be the guard over our eyes, to be the guard over our lips, to be the guard over anything that will try to provide entry into you, to our lives that will block your anointing from flowing, Lord God. So, Lord God, I pray that this day, Lord God, that hearts will be pricked, Lord God, that it will be pricked to the area of change, Lord God. Not that we say, oh, that's a good word, but Lord God, that we will press after you as never before, Lord God. Lord God, that we will trust in your unfailing love, that we will press after you, Lord God, because we do desire change, Lord God. We do want to see you lifted up, and we know you have the answer, and you have the answer within us. So, Lord God, let us align ourselves. Let us be in our alignment with Pastor, Lord God. Let us be in that alignment in the body, Lord God, so that your anointing can flow. In Jesus' name.
And Father, I thank you, Lord God, Lord, for this grace that you are allowing us, that you're ushering us into, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that not a one would miss the spirit of grace, Lord God. You are calling us into a place, Lord God, that we've never been before, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, that you open up the eyes of our understanding that we may see. Father, I pray that you would give us a spirit of discernment. And Father, that you would give us a passion for your word, Lord God, because your word is what would bring life, Lord God, to those dead areas. Your word is what would will set the captives free, Lord God. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, for total liberation and freedom, for your Holy Spirit to move in each of our lives, that there will be no strongholds, no places, Lord God, that the enemy can hide, Lord God. I pray that your word that was spoken over your son, Jesus, that the God of this world has come, the prince of this world, the enemy has come, and he can find nothing in me. I pray that this will be the same word that you can say on our behalf, Lord God, that the enemy of this world has come, and he can find nothing in us, Lord God, because the residue, Lord God, of sin, the residue of disobedience, Lord God, and apathy and lethargy and complacency will be done away with, Lord God. So thank you for this grace, Lord God, and we bless you for the freedom of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus.
Lord, I bind the spirit of generational curses, Father. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you just allow those areas within our lives, those deep areas within our lives that we as Christians have covered up, Lord. I pray right now that you expose it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray for all unforgiveness between fathers and mothers and children and whatever the case may be, Father. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that that area will be exposed, and Lord, that you would just unify, Father, families in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray, Father, right now, Father, against all of the spiritual warfare that is happening right now in this moment, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. Devil, you do not have access within the church. I pray against staleness within the church. I pray against dead places within the church right now, Father. Awaken your church, Father. Awaken us to your truth, Lord. Let us see the areas in our lives where we are lack, Father. Let us see the areas in our lives, Lord, that we have become complacent in. Let us see the areas in our lives of unbelief and doubt, Father. And let us pray, Father, for the truth to be released, Father. The truth of your presence to be released, Father, and open heaven right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray, Father, that hearts will be so pierced to the place where they will not be comfortable in their current states right now, Father. That people will not be comfortable where they are, Father. Give us an uncomfortability where we cannot take the world as it is right now, Father. We refuse to be in this place, Father. So, Lord, I just pray right now, Father, that you just give a longing in our hearts for more, Father. Let us not get so caught up in, because of the way the environment is looking right now, that we just give up, Father. We see that this world is hopeless, Father. But, Lord, shine that light within us, Father, so that we see the hope, Father. The hope that even if it's just a little crevice of hope, Lord, let us see it, Father, so that we know, Father, that you are doing a work even when things look crazy. Right now, in the name of Jesus, have your way. Have your way, Lord. I pray, Father, for the old and the young generations, Lord, that you would just bridge the gap, Father. Bridge the gap between the old and the young, that we won't see
the elders and people within the church that are older, as they're old and they don't have the answer, Lord, but that you would bridge the gap. And I pray right now, even for the young, Father, that the older will be able to see what we need as young people, Father. Lord, just bridge that gap all together, Father. Unify within the body of Christ first, Lord, so that the world can see it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, align our spirits with yours, Father. Align our spirits with yours, Lord, so every thought that comes to our mind is from you. Every word that is spoken from our mouth is of you. Every action that we take is of you, Lord. Lord, let us get beyond our good ideas, Lord. Let us get beyond our ideas, Father, so that that what comes from us is of you, Father. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, I cast down every imagination that rises itself up against the knowledge of you, Lord. Every thought, Lord, I bind every thought that's not of you. I bind every word that's not of you. Any words of gossip, Lord, any thoughts of deception, Lord, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray, Father. Lord, I pray against the spirit of counterfeit, Father. Things that reflect things that are of you, but that are not of you, Father. Lord, I bind that spirit. Things that have a little form of godliness but are not of you, Lord. I bind that, Lord, so that your power can break forth within the body of Christ, Lord. Your power and your love can rule and reign within the body, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray that you cut off everything that is dead, Lord. Remove anything that is dead, Lord, and breathe your breath of life, Lord. May the wind of the Holy Spirit just rush in the name of Jesus, Lord. Rush in and transform the way we do church, the way we do our relationship with you, Lord. May we be open to your change. May we be open to your guidance, Lord, so that we can do things your way, Father. I pray that you break down all unfruitful tradition, Father. Break down all unfruitful religion, Father. Lord, so that we're open to be changed and molded to your will, and Lord, so that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus.
Eternal Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you will raise up ministry gifts in your body in the name of Jesus. You will raise up ministry gifts in your body in the name of Jesus, Father. Because I perceive right now, Lord, that you want to build your church. And you have given ministry gifts to build us up, Father. So I pray right now, ministry gift amongst us, Father. Raise up in the name of Jesus. Lord, give voices to those who need to speak up in the name of Jesus. Give boldness to those you are raising up in the name of Jesus. Across this nation, Father, raise up ministry gifts in the name of Jesus. Ministry gift to build up your church, Father, in the name of Jesus. To build up your church, Father, so that the gates of hell will not prevail over your body in the name of Jesus. Raise up ministry gifts, Lord. Raise up ministry gifts in the name of Jesus. Raise up ministry gifts, Father. Build your church according to your template in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I curse every religiosity, every tradition that is not of you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I curse those from their roots, Father. Never to rise again in the name of Jesus. Build up your church, Father. Build up your church. Build up your church, Father, so that you can manifest amongst us in the name of Jesus. Give boldness to your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Raise up ministry gifts, Father. Raise up prophets. Raise up evangelists. Raise up apostles. Raise up teachers. Raise up pastors from amongst us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let us have inner insight into your template, Father, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. Limbre de boschka, nasi tumbre de boschki, fani moschkia. Raise up your church, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And as has been said, Father, Lord, just let our spirit align with your Holy Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let our free will be used in accordance to your good will, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.